eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. This is a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. You're listening to podcast episode number 82, and we're recording this on May 10th, 2007, live at Park University at McKay Hall. And this is the ED 491 class, graduate class, on the incorporation of technology in the classroom. And we just had our awards night. We had everybody produce their video. And we've given out the video awards tonight. And this is just kind of a wrap-up, final discussion, kind of a roundtable discussion on using technology in the classroom. So we'll kind of discuss it a little bit. These are all teachers that will be entering the classroom. Some are working on their grad degree. Some are working on the undergrad degree. But just kind of get some feeling for what new teachers might feel as they enter the classroom and how they can use technology. So we've talked about a bunch of different technology. We'll just kind of go around the table. What is the one application that you think you would be most likely to use in the classroom?
I just the general getting out on the internet and doing things. Before this class was kind of an internet novice and wasn't trying to get out and do things. So I'm really excited about all the things that the doors that you opened that taught me that I don't have to be so scared, it's not so scary, and that I can get out there with my students and find things that they're finding and hopefully get them to interact in the classroom with me through media that they are interested in.
I think the photo story skills that we picked up is one of the things I plan to use, especially hoping to teach journalism, because when I was in a journalism program, we had to choose whether you wanted to be a writer, a photographer, or an editor. And now I'm learning that you can learn to be all three rolled into one because of the technology. And it's affordable now, too, to have in the classroom. We've found out that we can find free technology to download on the web, so it's hopefully not going to be expensive. And some of the expenses that we will have, hopefully I can learn how to, one of the things I want to attempt when I start teaching is to learn how to write a grant and get some of that free money that's out there.
I would also have to say Photo Story 3, just because when I was in school, art was you watch a video, you look at some posters, and then like you study the period and then you try to reproduce it. But now, like, instead of having kids do that sort of type of presentation when you're, you know, when you're finished with the lesson and presenting what they've learned, like, they can use, I would say, Photo Story 3 and Movie Maker especially to put together presentations to really be creative. It's much more creative than what we've been able to use in the past. So those are my favorites.
Since I plan to teach middle school and all the middle schoolers I know are always plugged into their iPods, I think there could be a use for podcasting because I think the students would actually use it, and a lot of adults have iPods now too, so you could get some podcasts that would be informative and helpful for parents. But for the math classroom, you can do math facts, you can explain how to do different math problems, just, you know, keeping the parents in contact with what you're doing in the classroom also.
Kind of along those same lines, I guess, I am really interested in trying to find different ways to engage students because I feel like so many of them, you know, they go home and they're playing video games all night and they're watching television and they're on the computer, and then they come to class and we're like, sit here, be quiet, and read a book. And so I think just in general, all these different applications are just amazing because it's really, it motivates the students, it gets them interested, and the programs are easy enough to teach them how to use them, so then it's not just the teacher using them. They can, you know, create their own things with it.
For me, it would have to be Photo Story 3 and just our blog. First, with Photo Story 3, I want to use it as a tool to introduce what our classroom would look like at the beginning of the year, and then also to use it as a digital portfolio at the end of the year so the parents can see where they've progressed throughout the year. With the blog, I would like to be able to, in my classroom, the children have jobs, and I would like to be able to let one child be a reporter, classroom reporter, for the week, and they would get to say what goes up on the blog for their families to hear and see what's going on in the classroom. So they'd be kind of like a reporter for the week, and then, you know, come up to me and tell us what they want to know, what they want everyone to know, and then I would type it up, put it up on the blog, and post it. So.
Excellent.
Or you could have it do a podcast and attach it to your blog.
Could do it that way too.
Yeah. How much fun would it be for the kids to, like, you know, be able to talk?
So, yeah.
I like the idea of a video portfolio. That's a good idea. A little harder in middle school since there's so many more students, but in elementary, that's great to see how they progress from the beginning of the year.
I found anything with a microphone. You know, you put a microphone in front of the kids and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, they just think they're movie stars, and so they're ready and willing, and, you know, the quietest kid in class is all of a sudden up in front of everybody, you know, doing their thing with the microphone.
When you did your thing for the podcast, did you tell the kids that you were going to have them talk about it on the podcast?
I did, and they, I, you know, obviously only had time for, you know, a couple kids, and those three just happened to be the three that were done doing, you know, whatever it was that they were, and I mean, the other kids were, like, devastated because, you know, the other ones came back and they're like, ah, you know, we're on a podcast, you know, and they just thought they were so cool, so it was really fun.
So, like, I mean, a lot of you have had, like, methods classes and stuff like that. You know, how does this type of technology compare with how you learned and maybe what was taught in some method classes and stuff you had? Is this, I mean, is this like a completely new realm, or, I mean, how do you feel as somebody that was probably taught without these tools, how you're going to become a teacher with them?
I know, even with some of the people that are in, like, you know, same level classes that I am right now, they've taken technology and education even a semester ago or a year ago, and they are not as aware of the things that are available, and, like we were talking about before, that the things are cheap. You know, you don't have to go out and spend $1 million to do some fun things in your classroom. And, you know, I really came into this expecting, like, Excel, PowerPoint, spreadsheets, you know, and it's like, that stuff's boring, you know, and it's just moving so fast that I think we have to keep up with them, because otherwise the kids are going to, you know, pass us by.
I learned with books and blackboards and chalk, and I hope to not teach that way much at all if I have anything to say about it. Now that I was scared to death of this technology at first, and now it's something I hope to use. Now that I feel almost caught up with the students, I think I could actually use some of this in the classroom now.
Yeah, I feel totally opened up. The coolest thing I think we had in my classrooms were slides. So I just feel like this is a totally new world of creativity. Everything we've learned just so amazing and so overwhelming, and I kind of feel like I'm much smarter and more creative now than I was. So, and it's because of this class. So
does anything frighten you about the stuff that we talked about, the blogs, podcasts, and videos, and TeacherTube, and all that kind of stuff? Does anything scare you about using the technology in the classroom? Because you'll meet some people that are going to basically say, you can't use this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because of some of the dangers.
I don't think I'm scared of using it. I think I'm going to have challenges using it because I'm working with such younger kids. So I have to make sure what I do with technology is developmentally appropriate for them. So it's going to be kind of a juggling act of figuring out what they can do and what they can't do, what parents are okay with them doing. Because when you're a little older, they have a little bit more say than the parents do. But at 4 and 5, parents pretty much have total control.
Yeah. Getting left behind, having things jump so fast that you can't keep up with everything else, that, I mean, all the requirements that you have to have anyways, and trying to keep up with your course schedules and things like that, keeping up with the technology as it progresses and being able to constantly integrate it into the classroom. We talked about that one night, how a lot of teachers are scared and don't use things because they don't have the training or the time or the money to get the training. So being left behind by your students because you can't keep up would be, I think, one of my biggest fears.
I know, I've often thought about, too, like, you know, I have all these, you know, big, great ideas of all this stuff that I could do, and I just hope that I find a school district, especially, you know, in those first couple years that you're teaching, that is, you know, open to that, because as a first, you know, second, third year teacher, it's like, it's hard to kind of stick your neck out there if that school community is not really supporting it. And so I guess you just kind of have to find that school that fits well with you. But I've thought about that a lot, about how, you know, different school districts are, they have, you know, vastly different views on how technology should be used.
But every other thing.
You might find yourself as a first-year teacher being the trailblazer in that building, too. Because, I mean, a lot of the things we've talked about, if you have a computer and the internet, you could at least get started on. I mean, maybe not a data projector where you could, you know, put it up on the wall as easily or things like that. But, you know, even as a first-year teacher, you might be the person in that building that blogs for the first time or podcasts for the first time. And, you know, I think in some ways it might be easier to be the first-year teacher that does that instead of being your fourth year and be like, oh my gosh, you know, I've done it for 3 years, I got everything set, why would I want to do something new? And so I think you have that advantage where you're not going to be set and one of those people that's like, ah, I've been doing it for years, I don't need to change anything, it's going to be uncomfortable for me to change anything. I mean, you're starting from scratch, so why not incorporate these at the beginning of, you know, your teaching career?
I know Billy's the only one in the class that has kids that are in school, I think. Because mine's young. But I know that, like, one of the girls I work with has 2 16-year-olds and a 12-year-old, and she is online all the time now that she has. I mean, I've been in the same company with her for 9 years, and when her kids were much younger, they didn't have all this technology. We didn't even have internet at all of our desks when I started working at my job. And now we do, and now isn't that terrible to say? And she's online checking their grades all the time, and I've talked to her about blogging and how you've talked, and we've learned about how teachers are using blogs within their classrooms, and the parents love it. You might find that maybe some of the older teachers don't, or the, you know, more tenured teachers don't use the technology, and the fact that you are is going to ignite your parents to support you even more, which is really what you've got to do, because they want to hear the, you know, blah, you know, get them to do a podcast online about what they're doing. And that way the parents can go click on it and hear and how cool it is. And they can, you know, grandparents that are out of town or aunts and uncles or family members or, you know, whatever, you might find that it's really...
I think also as a first-year teacher, it's going to be, when you're interviewing for school districts, if you lay it out there that's who you are and that's what you're going to be using in your classroom, I think they'll listen to that. Because where I got hired, Grace Moore, they're very big in technology and they're very excited to see how I'm going to use it in a pre-K classroom. Because they've had pre-K for one, this is the first year they've had it, I'm starting a second classroom, so I'm starting from scratch. They don't even have curriculum set up. They have assessment and the goals that we have to meet at the end of the year. No way to get there. So I'm starting from complete scratch.
So you get to put everything in that you want?
Everything I want. Yeah. Best of all, that's both
exciting.
Worlds. So.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Scary, but exciting. It's a lot of work.
So, yeah, I mean, you guys will really be shopping for a district as much as they're shopping for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you'll find that when you walk in and, you know, most interviews at some point will have a question about, and they'll all have questions about curriculum, and you could even work it in there. But, you know, hey, I know how to podcast, and, you know, I have my own blog, and, you know, I put up a wiki last week and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I think that'll make you more marketable as well when you're looking for a job. So, definitely. So any other thoughts on technology from historic McHale?
I would just say to other teachers and students and people out there is just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to mess it up or to fail or to get in and try it, because I went from almost my first time on a laptop computer in this course to winning an Oscar and making a movie.
You're thinking all the little people. All right. Well, that'll wrap up our roundtable discussion from Park University. This has been the Speaking of History podcast, episode number 81. As always, you can check out the podcast on the web at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, or you can also leave a comment on the blog, or you can email me directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.